Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message.
Pastor Philip Moore with us in the house today to preach God's word to us. If you're brand new, we've been talking about this, but if you're brand new, he's the executive pastor of the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas, that is literally reaching thousands and thousands of people every single week for Jesus Christ. Great church, spirit-filled church. He's a great friend of mine, and honestly, his church has been a great friend to us here at Christ Covenant. So church, would you stand to your feet and welcome with me Pastor Philip Moore.
Let's take it in there. You guys are awesome. You know, it takes a brave man to stand up here and to enthusiastically, with a smile on his face, promote his own demise. This is my first time to be here, and I've missed out, obviously. Although it's my first time to be here, I have two very powerful connections with you guys. About 23 years ago, Tony came into the life of my family and I. At the church I was at, she was on the worship team, and she came into our family and has been a part of our family the whole time. Our kids call her Auntie Tony, and so it's good to be back and worshiping with you, Tony, and see you on the stage. Not quite 23 years, because I don't know how old you would have been 23 years ago. But Ryan came into my life and has been a blessing. You guys are blessed to have him as your pastor. Ryan, I was thinking about you this morning, and three words came to my mind. Passion, humility, and love. He's got a passion. Ever since I met him, he has a zeal and a drive and an enthusiasm of excellence about ministry. And that's rare to find, combined with somebody who walks in humility. He and I regularly get together, and I can count on a list of questions that he's coming. And a lot of it is not really he's coming to me for ideas. He just wants somebody to bounce it off of and, you know, maybe keep him in the in the boundary, so to speak. But he has got a passion and a zeal, and he's teachable, he's coachable, and that speaks to your humility. And you have a genuine love for God. You have a genuine love for your family and a love for this church that was obvious even before I got here, but it's obvious. And when I walked in, first person is Enrique, met me at the door. He started singing the praises of Ryan and just how blessed you guys are. So thank you. I'm honored here to be here with you guys today because I've heard so much about you. I've heard about the growth that you're experiencing as a church, the way that you're pursuing God to be and do all that he has called you to, the changes that you're embracing, the steps that you're taking, and the difference that you're making in this community. And it is truly an honor of mine to be here today and to worship with you guys and to see firsthand what God's doing. But I have to ask you one question. Why? Why do you do it? Why are you here? Why do you do what you do? And I ask that question from a personal standpoint, but also as a collective church body. Why? I think that we can all agree that doing life can be hard work. I mean, growing up, becoming an adult, to growing old, raising kids to some of us are taking care of aging parents, school, career, employment, financial responsibilities, that dreaded word taxes that's coming up here pretty soon, health issues, managing your relationships, in-laws or outlaws, whatever you may have, car trouble, something as insignificant as that, to relatively, depending on where you stand, the Astro scandal, how major that is. The election of 2020 that's coming up and then hits this thing called coronavirus. Yeah. And I want to just back up. I think Ryan had a very pastoral response for you today, but I just wanted to come in behind that, if you would allow me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, this isn't in my notes, guys, so I'm deviating just a little bit. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and love and of sound judgment and personal discipline." Listen to this. "Abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control." Fear is rampant in the world today. And there's one antidote for fear. Faith. Faith and fear, they have this in common. I heard this years ago, and it's the best definition I've... Faith and fear have this in common. They both are believing what I cannot see will come to pass. So with that definition, we have to choose which lane, so to speak, we're going to operate in. Are we going to choose faith and a faith highway? Are we going to get bogged down in the ditches of fear? How many of you ever had a really good fear session for like 30 minutes, an hour, or all day, and at the end of it, you just felt rejuvenated? You just felt excited about the day. Anybody ever had that? If you did, I want to meet you. Because it doesn't happen. But it's easy to get off into the ditch of fear when God's called us to stay on the highway of faith, where he's promised that he'll be there for us, the road is smooth, and ahead are full of his promises. So we have to choose faith, or we choose fear. And a practical tip, you guys have all heard it. The whole thing of, you know, keeping your heed the advice that people are giving you. Don't cough in front of everybody and wash your hands and self-quarantine and all that kind of stuff. But here's another one. Turn off the noise. Turn off the noise and turn on your faith. The way that we starve our fear is by feeding our faith. And you're not going to do that by being plugged into CNN or Fox News or whatever it is 24/7. Or there are social media. Take a sabbatical and turn off the noise. And then last thing I want to just give you is just stand on his word. Ryan read Psalm 91:2. That's one I've been finding very comforting to me. "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." We need to make that powerful. And I loved how Ryan said it today. We're not only just going to get through this, but I believe we're going to thrive as a church because we have the message that the world needs to hear. Who else is preaching faith? Nobody. They're ramping up on fear and anxiety and playing on people's emotions. So we will not only get through this, but we are going to thrive, I believe, as a church. And I'm going to end. I'm going to get back on my regular scheduled notes after this scripture. Hebrews chapter 13. This is one of my scriptures for this year. Hebrews 13, verse 5 to 6. "For he himself," that's talking about God, "he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man or coronavirus do to me?" One of the things my pastor and his wife preach regularly and challenge us as a staff is to, and as a church, is to get a scripture. And I would encourage you in this season, get a scripture and commit it to memory. And so when you're feeling fear come up, what is that scripture that you go to? And that's how we can feed our faith and starve our fears. Amen. All right, so back to the notes here. Life, in all of these things that we're looking at, including coronavirus, it is a mammoth undertaking when you look at it and you step back. And there's a lot to it, and it can be tough. And I'm sure that for all of us, it looked a lot easier when we were all kids and we were just getting started and before we got into the mix of things. When they were asked what they wanted to be when they grew up, listen at the perspective that these kids had. Little Toby, he wanted to be a veterinarian because I like to help pets get better. Sophia, I want to be a baseball player because baseball is fun. Violet, she wanted to be a chef because I like to cook. Beth, a ballerina, because I love to dance. David, a fireman, since I like explosions and fire. Not really sure about that one. Tony put it really well. He said, I want to be a jet flyer because they're cool. But then Albert. There's always an Albert in the group. Albert said he wants to be a person who stays home and does nothing. How many of you like to stay home and do nothing, right? Oh, to be a child again, right? And then as if life wasn't busy and hard enough, so to speak, and enough on our plates, Pastor Ryan and the church leadership challenge you to get out of your comfort zone, to stretch and to grow personally, but also as a corporate body, stretching and believing God for more growth, more impact in your area, starting new ministry initiatives, taking on renovation projects and raising the needed capital to make them happen, embracing the mixed emotions and the requirements of that complex word that we all kind of don't like, change. But you guys have accomplished so much in the last several years, and I have to say, it looks great, and honestly, it feels great being here. And I'm sure it wasn't easy. So I ask you again, why? Why are you doing it? Without question, doing life can be difficult and flat-out hard work at times. And being part of a healthy, growing church, well, it isn't for the complacent or the uncommitted. In all of it, it can be easy to lose perspective and to get off track in all the different ways that we're constantly being pulled and challenged. That's why, from time to time, it's important, it's helpful, and I would submit to you this morning that it's necessary for us to go back and ask this question often. Why? Why am I doing this? Now, some of you may be thinking right now, with Philip, where you're putting all this, I'm kind of asking myself, why am I doing this? Well, in the next few minutes, I want to help you with that question. And I want to give us all a kind of a baseline to get back to. The title of my talk this morning is Getting Back to Why. Now, I realize that some of you may be thinking, now, Philip, you're a pastor. Your life is easy. You office at a church with a bunch of Christians. And besides, you don't really work. How can you relate to what we're experiencing? Trust me, I get it. I get it. Some people think the pastors only work on Sunday and the rest of the days of the week we just play golf. Some think that we sit around reading our Bibles and singing kumbaya to each other and quoting Bible verses all the time. Some think that angels are singing when we wake up in the morning and they follow us all throughout the day singing. That our children greet us in the morning with their Bibles, asking us to expound biblical wisdom for them to have throughout the day. That somehow that our lives are special or trouble-free. And trust me, guys, I get it. I wish that was the case. The truth is, I work Sunday through Thursday. I do play golf when I can, which isn't nearly enough. I've never heard any of our staff to gather to sing Kumbaya. Thankfully, nobody sings in my house when I wake up. It's just not allowed. My dog Boomer does get kind of excited and everything, but that's about it. And my world is not trouble-free. In fact, I have many of the same challenges and issues that you face. I have been married now for 31 years to an incredible lady named Ellen. Yeah. And she wasn't feeling well or she would have been here today, but she's a godly lady, incredible. I married way out of my league, but she's not perfect, and neither am I. And we've had to navigate our share of marital growth challenges. We've raised together two wonderful children who are graduated from college. They've entered into careers. They love the Lord. They're adulting now. Thank you, Lord. But I assure you, it wasn't easy. I've had to battle temptation. I've had to struggle with insecurity, pride, insensitivity. I've had to develop spiritual muscles. I've had to make advancements. I've had to overcome setbacks. And I've had to grow in my relationship with God just like every one of you. My pastor, Alan Clayton, puts it this way. He says, as a pastor, he has a special grace for preaching. He doesn't have a special grace for everyday living. He said, when he steps off the stage, he has to walk out his life every day, all of it, just like the rest of us. There's no easy button for us pastors. There's no easy button either when it comes to a growing church. At the Ark, we share a lot of the same issues and challenges that you face. How do we get more people in the door? How do we best minister to those lives that come in those doors? How do we raise up more volunteers? We outline and we track a very detailed budget. We raise funds for renovation and construction projects. We step out in faith and we take risk. And just like you, we've seen the rewards of those actions. And next year as a church, we're going to celebrate 25 years. At times, life and being part of a growing church can be hard work. It can be challenging. It can be exhausting, full of valleys that we have to walk through and hills that we have to overcome. But at the same time, it can be extremely rewarding, full of purpose, full of fulfillment, and I quite frankly wouldn't trade it for anything. One of the things that I found, though, to be extremely valuable personally and in the ministry role that I get to fulfill is to regularly revisit why. Go back and ask myself, why? Why am I doing this? Why did I get into this to begin with? Because that why, I've discovered, drives everything else. That why drives everything else. Now, we're going to put a slide up on the screen, and I'm going to give away my age by this example, but here it goes. Who here knows what this is? Some of you are going to have to Google that. Who here knows what it means to dial in a radio station? All right, all right. All right, this is my okay boomer moment, okay? Back in the day, you actually had to turn a knob on the radio to move the indicator across the various frequencies to get tuned in to the radio station that you wanted. Tuning in that radio station, it was absolutely critical because otherwise you could get static, you could get noise, conflicting interference from other channels. Well, in the same way, it's critical for us to stay tuned in to why. It's critical for us to go back to revisit, to remember, to plug into the why of all that we do. Because what I have found is that the why drives how we live our lives. And that why, it's what sustains me when things get tough and when the stuff of life happens. Right. Now, we can simply go through the motions. We can get up in the morning and do the same thing the same way each and every day, kind of responding or reacting to whatever life has to throw at us, kind of with an attitude of, okay, world, just show me what you've got for me today. But just like a radio station, we can wander out of the frequency. Anybody ever experienced that? You drive out of the frequency and you slowly lose the signal, and that great station that you once had is now gone and you're listening to something you would never listen to. At other times, things can happen suddenly in our lives and kind of throw us off that radio station. And just like an out-of-tune radio station, our lives can be filled with static. They can be filled with noise. They can be filled with conflicting interferences and other messages. And the Bible gives us a great example of a man who, quite frankly, he got out of tune. He lost his why. But thankfully, this Bible gives us the rest of the story, so to speak, of how he got dialed back in, and he ended up making an incredible impact on the world. Peter's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I believe Peter's life can be summed up in four statements. Peter was called by Jesus. Peter was living his best life. Stuff happened. And then thankfully, he got back to his why. And Peter was a fisherman by trade. When he was personally called by Jesus to be one of his 12 disciples, and for 3 years, he was living and loving life at the top of his game, traveling the country. He was hanging out with Jesus day after day. He was learning. He was growing. He was making a difference in the world. You could say that Peter was dialed in. But then stuff happened. His world got rocked by Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. And his life got thrown out of tune. And it got so bad that Peter actually ends up denying Jesus 3 times. He and the other disciples are now full of static noise, and they've lost their way because they've lost their leader. Life and ministry, now you put it, in Peter's life wasn't going as he intended or as he wanted it to go. It was tough. So what does Peter do? He goes fishing. Now some of you are thinking, that's a smart guy right there. Go fishing. One day, scripture tells us that he and the other disciples were out on the boat fishing, and they had caught nothing after fishing all night, when miraculously Jesus shows up on the seashore. And Jesus calls out and he tells them to drop their nets into the other side of the boat. And when they do, they bring in an incredible haul of fish. At this point, Peter's eyes are opened and he recognizes who Jesus is. And I love this. He dives in the water and starts swimming toward him. Later, while they're on the shore and they're sharing breakfast over a fire, Jesus turns to Peter. We pick up this story in John chapter 21. Look at this scripture with me. It said, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Then he said to him, follow me. One translation of that says that he said, follow me means to walk in the same path that I have walked. Jesus, in this very brief but very, very powerful conversation, he cut through all the static noise that was in Peter's life. And he helped him to get realigned. He helped him to get dialed back in. And here, as they say, is the rest of the story. Jesus reinstates Peter. And Peter goes on to become the rock, as scripture calls him, on which the church, capital C, is built. Meaning that Peter's life and ministry went on to affect millions and millions of people on this planet, including you and me sitting here today. The difference was that Jesus helped Peter to get dialed back in. He helped him to get back to his why. Going back to why, it helps us to cut through all the stuff of life, and it brings with it 3 important benefits. Number 1, it helps us to stay motivated. Going back to our why helps us to stay motivated. We all have our good days, right? And we all have our not so good days. Those days when it's like I am loving life, I am living at the top of my game, and the other days of, what the heck am I doing here? Have y'all been there? Is it just me? After that day on the shore with Jesus, I am sure that Peter's life wasn't perfect. I'm convinced that he experienced his shares of ups and his share of downs, but his why kept him motivated to keep going. When things get challenging in our lives, our why keeps us motivated to hang in there, to keep going and to persevere, knowing and full of faith, able to stand on the reality that I'm doing this for a reason, and this too shall pass. Yeah. It helps us to stay motivated, but going back to why also keeps us focused. It brings clarity. Yeah. Knowing our why keeps us focused on what really matters. And just like Peter, it adds some clarity in a confusing and sometimes chaotic world. Peter's why that day brought laser-like focus in his life. He realized on that day that his life wasn't about fishing for fish. he realized that his why was to fish for men. And that's the laser-like focus that Christ brought him. When we go back to why, we're able to tune out the conflicting and distracting noises in our lives. And it helps us to realign our attentions and our efforts, wading through all the stuff that life throws at us to get back to what really counts, to what really matters. And finally, going back to why gives us hope. It gives us hope. After all that Peter had been through, hope was what he needed more than anything else that day. And Jesus gave it to him by bringing him back to a why. You see, hope in its meaning today and its use can often get watered down. And it can mean simply nothing more than a wish. Kind of like, I really hope that this works out. Or, I really hope to see you soon. Or, I hope we all survive coronavirus. The problem with this definition and use is that the only strength of the word then rests in the user. It becomes synonymous with the strength of the person and their desire. Yet in the Bible, hope has a much stronger context and has a far more powerful meaning. Look at this scripture in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things, what does it say? Hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Listen to this. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Listen carefully to this definition. Hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised. Let me say that again. Hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised. So the beauty then of this definition is that the strength of our hope becomes based on God's character. It comes based on his faithfulness, on our faith in him to do what he has promised. I love that definition because now hope becomes defined in a good, good father, as we were singing about earlier, and not in me. And that's a much different place for me to place my hope. I'm going to ask you to stay with me because I'm going somewhere with this. But going back to why, it gives us motivation, it brings clarity, and it adds hope, a confident expectation of tomorrow. Now, I don't know about you, but that all sounds pretty good to me, right?
That's right.
Does that sound good to you?
Yes. Very good.
Okay, I'm going to ask that again, and this is yes, and this is no. All of those things sound pretty good, don't they?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. I had to set you up because I'm going to ask you this one important question. What is your why? What is your why? Some of you know it, good for you. If you don't know it, well, you're in luck today because I have the answer for you.
Okay.
I believe all of our whys can and should be found in one simple statement. Either exactly these words or in some variation of it. Would you like to know what it is?
Yes.
Okay, good, because I was going to tell you anyway. Otherwise, I'd cut off the sermon right here. It'd be kind of short. Here it is. Here it is, my one point. If you get nothing else from this talk this morning, please get this point. You ready? I believe that all of our whys can be summed up in a powerful prayer that I often heard my father pray. God, bless me to be a blessing. God, bless me to be a blessing. No matter what your vocation, demographic, or your socioeconomic status, I believe all of us have the ultimate God-given purpose to be a blessing to the other people around us. Whether you're a realtor, a dentist, a lawyer, a banker, a stay-at-home parent, a student, or a pastor, our why is ultimately to bless other people. Thus the prayer, God bless me to be a blessing. Alan Clayton, senior pastor at the Ark, put it this way. He said that we all have a bigger purpose. And the bigger purpose, he said, is to be a blessing for God to the people around us. Now, you may be thinking, Philip, no, actually, my goal in life is to earn a ton of money, make a good living, elevate my life, retire independently wealthy. And to that, I would say there is nothing inherently wrong with that goal. But I would challenge you and I would encourage us to tune in a little bit harder, to go a little bit deeper to a more significant why in our lives. Twice in my lifetime, I have had the incredible opportunity to travel to Israel, spending the good part of one summer there with a good friend of mine living in Jerusalem. Many of our excursions during that summer involved the Jordan River. I even had the opportunity to hike to the northern part of Israel to see where the Jordan River starts, where it first comes out of the rocks and begins its journey south. As the Jordan River flows south, it brings with it a beautiful, life-giving oasis effect to all that it touches in the country as it goes south to the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is another famous body of water in southern Israel, and it gets its name for a reason. This sea or lake, it sits approximately 1,400 feet below sea level. It is the Earth's lowest elevation on land. See, water flows into the Dead Sea, but nothing flows out of it. As a result, it is one of the world's saltiest bodies of water, nearly 10 times saltier than the ocean. It's so dense, in fact, that you can float in it. The saltiness makes for an incredibly harsh environment where plants and animals, they can't survive, thus the name Dead Sea. The Jordan River and the Dead Sea, they have this in common. They both are fed by the same incredible, life-giving water. The difference is, one gives out what it receives, the other one receives, but gives nothing out. Like the Jordan River, our lives were meant to be channels, taking the blessings that God gives into our life and passing them down the line, so to speak, to others. And when we do, we plug into our bigger purpose. We become a source of life to those around us. And that is our why, to be a blessing to others. So the question becomes, are we more like the Jordan River, or are we more like the Dead Sea? How do we more consistently plug into our higher purpose, our why? How do we live to bless others? I didn't ask Ryan's permission for this, but I'm going to give you homework. You can smile at me. I'm going to challenge you in three things. Number one, I'm going to challenge you for the next 30 days to pray this simple prayer. Father, bless me to be a blessing. For the next 30 days, simple prayer. Powerful prayer. Pray that every day. Second thing, I want to challenge you to look for creative and practical ways to bless your spouse, to bless your parents, to bless your friends, your neighbor. If you want extra credit, go bless a perfect stranger. But look for ways to be a blessing to those around you, practically, creatively. And then number three, I'm going to challenge you to ask Pastor Ryan and the church leadership here, how can I help? How can I be a blessing to this church body? Will you do that? Remember? I encourage you, wherever you are, start where you are. Take a step and see what happens. As we close, I'm going to ask you to imagine with me, what would it look like if we consistently got back to why? What difference would it make for us individually? What difference would it make for our families as we navigate life? What would that look like for our places of employment? What would that look like for Christ's Covenant Church? And what would that look like in this community that God's placed you in? Who you are and what you do matters. You are created by God with a destiny and with a purpose. A destiny and a purpose that we all need to revisit from time to time and tune into. So let me encourage you, stay the course. This world, this community, this church needs you. Just go back to why. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let's honor the Lord here just for the last few minutes. Getting back to why begins with the decision to invite Christ into your life and enter into a life-giving, a life-changing relationship with Him. Perhaps you're here this morning or you're online and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life. You've never said yes to Him. Or perhaps you've said yes and you received Him into your life in the past, and for whatever reason, you've gotten away from Him. Today, you can renew that relationship. So if you've never said yes, you've never asked Christ to come into your life, or you need to come back to Him today, we're going to say a prayer in just a minute. We're not going to embarrass anyone. We're not going to call you out. But if you want in on that prayer, if you're here saying, I want to give God a chance, I want to invite Christ into my life and pursue the why He's created me. If you want in on that prayer, then simply raise your hand and say, Philip, include me in that prayer. Yeah, you can put your hand down. Yes. Yes. All right. Online, you can do the same thing. God's right there with you wherever you're at. All right, we're going to do just what I said. We're going to pray this prayer, and I'm going to ask you to pray it with me. All of us together, those that raise your hand here in the building and online, say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to You. Let me pray for you just for a moment. Father, I want to thank You for all those who made that decision here today and for all those that are present. Father, I thank You that You have a destiny and a purpose for each and every one of us. Father, I thank You that Your heart is to bless us. And Father, may we in turn go out and be a blessing to those around us. Father, I ask that You continue to pour out Your Spirit on this church, on its pastor, on its leadership. Father, I thank You that they can fully trust You for the days ahead, that You will continue to lead and You'll continue to provide. And Father, may everything that You've put in Your heart for them to be and for them to accomplish, may it come to pass. And as it does, Father, we're going to be careful to give You all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Pastor Ryan.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ's Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.